The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. We're grateful. Really thankful that you could allow us to be part of your morning each and every Monday through Friday. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage, Kelly, right here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Glorious, majestic, beautiful, clean downtown Las Vegas.
Hey, they just renovated the Fremont.
You were saying.
Hotel, casino. It's pretty nice over there.
It's pretty darn nice.
Over there for a little Dunkin' Donuts sometimes. It's very, very nice.
We get tweets of beating the book. Just let me read a few of these before we get to Kai here. Clark, who did Drew like today for tennis? He didn't. He just likes Elena Rybakina to win the women's side now that Iga is out. Las Vegas 514. Yo, any truth in the McCarthy thing? I'm going to lose my blankety blank mind. Please tell me it's all bull blankety blank. We'll get to that momentarily in Las Vegas. And then Larry Fresher, killing me with these starts in 10 minutes tennis plays, running downstairs as I tweet. Well, don't trip. Here's the thing. If I had given it out earlier, it would have been at a price that I would have said, don't bet it. And then I waited and it ended up being a price you could bet it at. So
there you go.
Worked out that way.
I see Zach Cohen's on the same play as well.
Is he?
Yes. You and Zach aligned.
Zach Cohen. Zach Cohen and I matching. I like it. Again, VSiN.com/picks for every pick in every sport by every host and every guest here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's talk some college hoops. We had a full hour this morning without talking college hoops. That's why Kai McKeon and his glorious hair comes in from Three Man Weave, courteous of the progressive guest line. How you doing, Kai?
I'm good, Gil. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So wait, share what you shared off air, which is that you, James yes. Patrick Root, Matty Cox, and yourself, the three-man weavers, you were out here for the round of 64 and round of 32, and now you're coming back for the Sweet 16?
We are, and you can see the sunburn on my face a little bit still from this past weekend. It's going to stay because we're going back this weekend, Sweet 16, Elite Eight weekend, to do live shows from Circus Stadium Swim, right in a cabana out there, and just going to have a good time and hopefully the sunshine and enjoy some basketball outside and talking hoops.
That's awesome. So you're doing a show from the cabana. Outstanding.
From the cabana. All right.
Yeah. This past Thursday and Friday, great weather. And then it went back to crapola after that.
Yeah. Really did.
Yeah.
It looks a little up in the air for this weekend.
A little
weekend,
up in the
dude.
Air. Not going to lie. A little up in the air.
I know. I peaked a little bit. I peaked. Yeah.
It's almost, guys, as if, I just want to throw this out there. It's almost as if there's a change in the climate. Does anybody know about that? By the way, what does what sunblock are you going to use this time? By the way, you got to up it, I think.
Clearly a better version. I was good everywhere else except right in the middle of my face where the only spot on TV matters.
Yeah. You're fine, Kai. You just tell people you were wearing a baseball cap.
That's
yesterday.
Right.
Like all day yesterday. That's all it looks like.
There you go.
All right, let's get to it. No NIT or CIT for you? You don't partake?
Not for me. I can't get into it, Gil, and that sounds bad as a college basketball fan, but I just can't. I don't care about it.
Wow. Okay. That's it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you don't,
I'm sorry.
No, let's go to the big dance. That's all right. I'm not judging you. Demerit for Kai, by the way. Mark that down. All right. Thursday. Let's just do these by day. I'll do them chronologically by day. Let's start with Clemson and Arizona. This is sort of toggled back between 7 and 6.5 in favor of the Wildcats. Do you think that number is correct, sir?
I lean towards Clemson on the number. I just have a hard time trusting Arizona fully because I don't know what version of Caleb Love we're going to get. And if Arizona's down early or maybe a little bit in the second half where it's dicey, it's close, I worry about Caleb Love in late game situations. Could definitely blow Clemson out. However, Clemson's post game is pretty darn good. And Arizona, surprisingly, has not been able to guard the post very well this year. I think also Hall and Shefflin can give Ballo issues if they step out on the perimeter. So I kind of like Clemson here at 7.
Okay. By the way, we're showing 7.5 now.
Yeah, 7.5, sure.
Ticking up, so we even get a hook more with that. A half hour later, and I like this. So the Clemson, Arizona is the 6-2 game out west. Mm-hmm. Half hour later in the east region, the 5-1 game between San Diego State and UConn. This is up to 11 on the Huskies. Yeah.
And I'm not going to bet against UConn. I refuse to. They have no weakness, it seems. Everything they do is perfect. They almost look bored when they play offense sometimes because it's so easy for them to score. Obviously, a rematch of the title game from last year, which was not close. I kind of worry that it's not going to be either this game. It is a big spread, but I just think UConn's too good. San Diego State's going to run everything through the post. Obviously, UConn's defense in the post is pretty darn good with Johnson and Klingon in the middle there. So it's either a stay away or maybe UConn if I feel like betting it.
All right, back to the West region. Alabama, North Carolina. This is the one I'm looking most forward to on Thursday. With the Heels favored by 4 total, by the way, here at 173.5.
Love it. Yeah, going to be a huge, huge scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams got to 100. We've seen that already a few times in the first round. Transition like crazy. The difference is probably UNC's defense. Both teams are awesome offensively. UNC is good defensively, and Alabama is not. And I think that's probably the difference here. UNC, the post-up defense, Alabama's post-up defense is suspect. Baycott can't exploit that. Alabama's gotten beat off the dribble all season, and that's a huge problem against RJ Davis and a ball screen heavy team in UNC. So I have a hard time trusting Alabama's defense. It's a slight lean at -4 for UNC.
Yeah, I have my Alabama future 60-1, which I made in like May or June. I can't remember what month of last year. You ever have those futures where you actually have them and you're like, there's absolutely no chance of this winning?
Yes.
You don't even think
about
it.
All the time.
Yeah. Illini and Iowa State, this is even ticked down. This is the last one to tip off on Thursday. Iowa State now down to just a 1-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, best offense in the country versus best defense per KenPom, efficiency-wise. I think Illinois is really hard to stop. Terrence Shannon in transition, if you guys have watched him, he's a bull. He cannot be stopped, like the Juggernaut from X-Men. Once he gets going, you cannot stop him. Now, Illinois' lack of true point guard worries me a little bit against Iowa State's defense. They force a ton of turnovers. Illinois has gotten away with not having a true point guard because Shannon and Domask are very, very good basketball players, obviously, but maybe it rears its head in this matchup. Iowa State's offense is better than in the past, but still it's a weak point for them. Illinois' D, though, has been woeful this season, especially down the stretch. It's a very tough call from a spread, from a money line perspective here. I'm leaning slightly towards Illinois, just a more dynamic offense. And again, Shannon is just so tough to stop. But I always say it's defense is for real. So it's going to be a tough call.
Shannon is unbelievable. He looks for like real. Everybody else is in mud when he's playing.
Yes.
And the other great part about the Illini, Kelly, I know you'll appreciate that. This is that every time the ball goes to Dane Danger, the little part of my head just goes, Danger!
Danger!
Watch yourself. Sorry, I'm just being stupid. But it really does. That's how the brain works. Okay, before we get to the Friday games, let me just ask you this, because we were among so many moaning about how the schedule was on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm at home watching it on TV, and how they've just, you know, there's two standalone games early, and they just push back the schedule, where they're not even halfway through the Saturday or Sunday schedules at 7 p.m. Eastern, for goodness sake. Yeah. Which may not bother people on Saturday, but certainly bothers people on Sunday when, you know, a lot of people probably missed that A&M Houston flourish at the end because it was so late. You being at a sports book or at a pool or wherever you were, did you notice it in the same way? Do you feel like people in a book felt that same thing?
Yeah, we were outside at Stadium Swim, actually. And yes, the annoying part was the beginning, right? You had all that gap in between, and it seemed like we were just kind of waiting on another game to start. And it's unfortunate to do that. We want constant action. And then all of a sudden, it was a flurry at the end. Like you said, most people, at least we, went home and went our separate ways and watched from different bars. But it is unfortunate they scheduled it that way. I don't know why.
It's when they went to four networks, they made a priority. Like, we're just not. Yeah. We're going to let everybody see every second of every game. And then you leave yourself open to the Purdue blowout, which then is a huge hole in your day. Friday, chronological order. First one, NC State Marquette South Region. The only double-digit seed remaining, the Wolfpack, they're 6.5-point dogs here.
Yeah, Marquette, heavy ball screen offense, best point guard in the country, arguably, in Tyler Kolek. NC State, really poor defending ball screens this season, but DJ Burns on the other end, who's becoming a tournament hero, he's pretty unstoppable. Can Marquette stop his post-ups? They run offense through him. Iguodara is a really good defender, but he's giving up about 50, 60 pounds still. It's going to be a tough matchup for him. NC State doesn't make any mistakes. That's part of the reason why they've done so well in this tournament run. But I lean towards Marquette here. I think NC State's slightly easier to game plan for.
Burns is passing so good, too, out of the post.
So good.
Gonzaga and Purdue half an hour later in the Midwest, the 1-5 with the Boilermakers favored by 5.
Whoever gets in foul trouble, EK versus Edie, both teams run their offense through them. If one of those guys is in foul trouble, it's bad news for the other team, or excuse me, for that team. I lean towards Purdue slightly. I think their supporting cast is better than Gonzaga's, but it really does matter who can stay on the floor between Edie and EK.
Back to the South, 4-1 game. Houston favored by 4 over the Blue Devils of Duke.
Really torn here. Duke, a team I thought could win the title in the preseason. Now I'm starting to believe it again. Their offense looks fantastic. McCain is a star, the NBA prospect for sure. Filipowski, obviously. Houston's defense is amazing. I'm really rooting for Kelvin Sampson. I am concerned in this game. I have a slight lean towards Duke.
Kelvin Sampson, who refuses to foul up 3 late in games.
Just man, tough.
Half hour later, Tennessee now up to a 3-point favorite in the Midwest region in the 2-3 game against Creighton.
It's really hard to bully Creighton when Tennessee kind of does that two teams. However, I just hate how Creighton cannot force turnovers. They don't do it. Basically the worst team in the country at forcing turnovers. I think that gives them a really thin margin for error. And Creighton really relies on scoring inside, scoring from 2. Tennessee's a fantastic 2-point percentage defense. I lean towards Tennessee.
What's your favorite of all of those, Kai?
Man, favorite of all of those. I'll go Clemson 7.5.
Clemson plus 7.5. Kai McKeon, everybody, at KY_3MW. All of 3-Man Weave's plays and thoughts. Pithy thoughts, 3MW_CBB. And their live show from the Cabana. Is it live or is it a podcast? Which is it?
Live.
Live.
Woohoo!
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3-Man Weavers. Thank you, Kai. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
JJ McCarthy and Season Wins next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
a lot of Adam Burke. He's got MLB season preview thoughts. He's got Sweet 16 thoughts. It's the Adam Burke edition today.
Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jack and a Prius 2.0. McCarthy going at 2 is bonkers. I don't trust any of the supposed top 7 quarterbacks. For New England at 3, their best bet is trading out and acquiring picks because they have so many needs than take Michael Pratt. I think he's probably saying Michael. Yeah, maybe he said Michael Pratt in round 3. Played in college football purgatory at Tulane and is a pure passer. He won vote for Michael Pratt in the 3rd round. Corbin. Just locked in a Thunder Mahach parlay. Let's ride, Gilly. Also, do people not remember the steam on Will Blank and Levis going number 1 or 2 in the draft last year? Oh, I remember it too. And the guy didn't even get drafted in the 1st round. Pepperidge Farm remembers. I don't really know the Pepperidge Farm reference, but sure.
That was one of those, like, in the, I'll always remember making that bet because, like, in the depths of summer, you know, it's like late July. And I'm just like, I feel like we were doing a show and Matt Brown just like talks me into this. And he's like, yeah, I bet this like 100-1 on Will Levis. I'm like, sounds good to me. Let me, I'll throw a ticket and all that.
Oh, well, you guys did that way before.
Yeah, it was like July, like before the draft.
Nothing wrong with 100-1. Right. So why is this all coming up, by the way, about J.J. McCarthy? Well, yesterday, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network said that the belief amongst executives who know Commanders GM Adam Peters is that the pick will be J.J. McCarthy at 2 overall. Now, let me just say it is lying season, so just keep that in mind. But as far as the betting market is concerned, for those markets that are specifically the number 2 pick in the draft, J.J. McCarthy went from 25-1 down to 5-1, and now at DraftKings we're showing 4-1 to be the number 2 overall pick in the draft. Jaden Daniels remains the favorite to go number 2 to the Commodores at minus 170. Drake Mays at plus 135. But that's a major move on McCarthy based on Tom Pelissero saying that out loud, which gets back to our point about like the NBA awards where it's like, yeah, if Windhorst or Bontemps or one of these guys just like makes it a crusade, it's going to move stuff. And Pelissero definitely has that kind of juice on the NFL side. Now, as to the veracity of this, like, is this a thing or not a thing? Again, it's lying season, and the draft is still weeks away. Even more than a month away. And I'll just say Jim Harbaugh, J.J. McCarthy's head coach at Michigan, he said J.J. McCarthy was going to be the number one pick in the draft. Now, that remains to be seen, and that's still a massive underdog with Caleb Williams still the presumptive number one pick in the NFL draft that's coming up. But that was Jim Harbaugh's, you can call it hyperbole, but that was how he felt about his quarterback. Maybe every coach says that about their quarterback, but he said that. But number two ain't that far off if that's what happens. The question becomes, do you believe the report? And as a Commodes fan, God, I hope not, is my instinct. But then I quickly check that instinct by saying, none of us knows a damn thing about any of these guys.
I kind of, I mean, I think a little bit too, hey, I think this is just, you know, some news and teams trying to, you know, move some things around. But I think the one part of this to keep in mind, it's not necessarily at two, but we have heard from what both the Patriots and the Cardinals that it's, hey, we're open for business.
Yeah.
Like, this pick's open for
That's
business.
Right.
So maybe it's not two, but like, is there a reality forming where there's quarterback, it's four quarterbacks in a row?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there a reality forming where it's quarterback, 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 quarterback via trades, perhaps at three or four,
Maybe.
I mean, we know how crazy they get quarterback-wise for these drafts, and NFL teams justifiably get quarterback crazy because, again, you're nothing without one. But if somebody falls in love with, you know, these guys and are sitting and one and two have gone, let's say it is Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, and they're like, I've got to get my hands on JJ. I've got to get my hands on Drake May, whoever that is. Oh, a trade's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Cardinals one I find, actually both of them I find interesting, Patriots and Cardinals, right? Because Patriots are, they need a quarterback.
They need a lot, though, as was just tweeted to us.
Yeah, they do need a lot. So I don't know. I still struggle to see them trading out of that unless they're really shaky on these other quarterbacks that aren't Caleb Williams. The Cardinals one scares me a little bit because I do have a bet on Marvin Harrison to go to the Cardinals, specifically to the Cardinals. And I think that makes way too much sense still. But if you're the Cardinals, if you get overwhelmed with a trade offer, then it's easy because
everybody's
there's so many good wide receivers. Yeah,
everybody's got a price. Yeah. So I don't know. That's just reporting on why that move was made. It was because Pelissero uttered it out loud.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Adam Peters is the guy who also was part of the 49ers brass, where everyone was convinced that they were going to draft Mac Jones at three, and they ended up taking Trey Lance at three. So remember that confusion lasted right up until the draft. Till the moment they made the pick. So we're way out before the event itself.
We're way out. But I do, like, my gut says right now, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, 1-2. And then it might get interesting.
That's what my gut says, and I hope that's what happens. But this is not a situation where, again, last year, where I keep joking, where I'm like, yeah, where do I cash in my CJ Stroud plus money tickets? That's because I'm like, obviously they're drafting C.J. Stroud. What is the negative on C.J. Stroud, and why would they trade up for anyone else? This is not at all that. I don't think highly of J.J. McCarthy. But then, by the way, some people would say J.J. McCarthy was not asked to throw. But he did play in a pro-style offense.
And so, he's young.
Yeah.
He's younger than all these other quarterbacks.
That's right. Some of these guys are 24, like Penix. Yeah, so.
I think the other one I've been meaning to bring this up to you. Remember all we kept hearing last year was Stroud? Like, one of the knocks on Stroud last year was, oh, but he had all these great wide receivers at Ohio State, right? That was like a thing last year. Why have I not heard a single person say that about Daniels? Like, we're talking about two LSU wide receivers that are going to be drafted in the first round this year, and not a single person's brought that up. I'm not saying it's fair one way or the other.
Because he's more multidimensional is probably the answer.
Maybe, but it's still whatever, wide receivers, wide receivers.
NFL season win totals are out. We'll do more of this tomorrow as well.
But these just came out,
Just came out. Again, we don't know everybody's specific schedule week by week, but we do know opponents. Let me just ask you right up the front, because I want to dovetail in with the only bet that I've made, which was the Bengals to win their division. What is the Bengals season win total? Bengals season win total is 10.5. with the over only slightly juiced at minus 120. I just want to bring that up because I just, again, Joe Burrow walking through that door. He is. Here are the Bengals non-division opponents. Because obviously they got to play Baltimore, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh twice each. At home, they get the Broncos, Raiders, Commodores, Patriots, and also the Eagles.
Yep.
But four of those five,
very winnable.
Broncos, Raiders, Commanders, Patriots. Away, in addition to playing the Ravens, Browns, Steelers. A little harder, because they do have to play the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. We'll throw the Chargers into that, just to be fair. But also three road games against the Giants, the Titans, and the Panthers. I mean, you cannot script three easier games. So just to say, Giants, Tennessee, Carolina on the road. Broncos, Raiders, Commodes, Patriots at home. That's seven games. And let's assume, do you want to assume splits on all the division games? You want to make them 4-2, whatever? I've already got seven.
That's where it gets tough.
I guess what I'm saying is,
you got to go 3.5.
Let's just say it's 3-3. Let's just be fair, 3-3. That's already 10. And then one of those tough games, home Eagles or road Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, all you got to do is win one of those and you're over. That's an over to me.
Okay, so this was one. And again, we'll do much more of these tomorrow because there were a few teams I actually wrote down notes on that I kind of like bets. On Bengals was one I wrote down. This is a lean to the over for me for sure. For me, it was pretty easy to come up with like 11 wins, and then you're on the border of like 12 wins plus. I don't know if there was enough for me to be like, all right, I'm hammering this bet right away. But the one I think I would bet this offseason, this is tricky. All this stuff's getting released earlier, which we love as bettors.
Yep.
But like, you got to be a little careful just because this stuff's going to start to move. There's still so much to happen with the draft that's going to change things. You know, another offseason stuff coming up. So your timing, you got to be a little bit more careful with this year. I'll go a little bit the other way, Kill. One that I got attracted to more in the AFC North was the Ravens under. Partially because I'm high on the Bengals as well. But it is the Ravens under, and I think that North Division's great. It's the best division in football, and their out of division schedule definitely tougher than what the Bengals.
Well, it's a first place. Right. I mean, you got them. First place schedules matter, mm-hmm. right? And that will apply to other teams like the Texans. Little portent of things to come tomorrow.
Yep.
Jared Smith on College Hoops on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199. That's instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game, the fine program you're listening to right now.
Some say. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. This gentleman was kind enough to fill in for me for a few days.
That's right.
When I was in Miami. Back after the Super Bowl. He is a VSiN host, and he's also with Fox Sports Radio. He joins us now. Jared Smith, everybody. How you doing, Jared?
Oh, I'm great. I had a blast. It was an experience walking across Fremont Street at 6 in the morning. That was a first for me. but just the overall vibes of the show, it was a very fun experience. Kelly just helped me so much. Just feel nice at home there. Over at the D.
Well, thrilled that you could do it. And by the way, you got to be careful at that hour that you don't get shanked or shivved. By the way,
it's an interesting hour to be out there.
One of those is a subset of the other. If you want a definition of shiv and shank, I'm not sure which is which. Jared comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Let's talk some college hoops, man. How's your tournament been so far?
It's been okay. The first round certainly was unique. Friday was fantastic. The weekend was a struggle.
And, you know, we're in this town. We like to bet underdogs, right? We're trying to be on the sharper side of the ledger.
Yeah.
But it was a chalky weekend. So if you were a fan of the favorites, you probably made out okay. I'm more of a dog better, especially taking points in the tournament's always something I love to do. And it was not a very successful weekend for that strategy.
Yeah, Thursday was, I think, all the bettors that I know, including myself, Thursday was rough in March Madness. Yeah. Friday was a bounce back. And then, yeah, just when everybody had gotten out, we had like a few guys who tweeted who were like, oh, I'm just doing the underdog money line strategy. And they just got murdered, I think. Ugh. That's the last we heard about that. We didn't promote it, but everybody else had sort of come to that as their strategy of like, hey, I'm just going to bet the underdogs on the money line. Okay, what do you like Sweet 16? What do you like best?
Well, obviously the early actions on Illinois, and I think it makes sense if you talk about where Iowa State is as a team right now. I think their number's about as high as it's going to get. They've had about as good of a 2-3 week stretch as maybe anyone in college basketball. Of course, beating Houston in the Big 12 title game, they have looked dominant in their first two tournament games. So again, you get that number to the point where, okay, can Iowa State improve based off of what we've seen over the last 3 weeks? Probably not. I think Illinois, on the other hand, because of the athletes that they have, most notably Terrence Shannon, the Iowa State press is going to be fascinating because Illinois doesn't have a true point guard. So how they handle this kind of quasi pressure that TJ Otzenberger likes to run, it's going to be interesting. But I think Shannon and Damask and even Hawkins, the big fella, I think those guys can really manage that press. And they have the athletes to run up and down with Iowa State. So while Houston struggled in that regard, I think the long rest for Brad Underwood, preparing for that unique style, and the markets agreed. I mean, this thing opened 2.5. We're getting close to a pick'em now. So I would say Illinois on the money line, you can find a +110. Still feels like a pretty decent bet. You might get a little bit of movement in your favor before the game.
Danger. Surprised you're not shouting that out every time we talk Illinois.
Danger.
Kelly, you got to shout that out. That rises to a level of a flagrant two that you didn't
I like
do.
It.
Yeah. Okay, what besides the Illini?
Well, Marquette looks really strong. I think NC State's kind of the Cinderella team right now, so it's tough to lay a big number against them. But Marquette, to me, Tyler Kolek, the whole question coming into the tournament, is Tyler Kolek healthy? Yeah. I think we've answered that question now. And if he is healthy, I don't know if the number fully reflects that because – you know, 6 games without him, they were 3-3. You saw Cam Jones take over. And listen, Cam Jones, he's probably a starting, you know, number one guard, a scoring guard on most teams in college basketball. But because of how talented Marquette is, he's kind of the second fiddle to Kolek, even though they both kind of play different games. But it's obvious to me that Kolek's healthy. So you put Kolek now 100% on this Marquette roster. Frankly, they're a one seed with him healthy. And so I think them at +225, I saw a pretty decent number to make the Final Four. You know, they're in that bracket with Houston. Obviously, they're going to be an underdog in that game, probably in a 3-5 point underdog, somewhere in that range, depending on how the Sweet 16 goes. But Dukes look pretty good, right? And they're a shorter, you know, Houston's a shorter favorite in the Sweet 16 than Marquette is. So I feel good about Marquette at least getting to the Elite Eight. And I really like Tyler Kolek. And I think that maybe increases their number just a little bit from what we're currently seeing. So I think Marquette, maybe not necessarily in this game, or if you want to employ the rollover strategy, that's certainly fine. But I think Marquette +225 to make the Final Four feels like a decent wager also.
Yeah, speaking of that, what's your instinct on the Final Four? Right now, if I said, okay, Jared, give me your Final Four teams, they will be... Because I know a lot of people are out there like, hey, what do I'm thinking about parlaying this stuff, which I'm not recommending here, but I'm saying people like to make that kind of fun bet.
Yeah, I don't mind parlaying within the region because you're guaranteed that one game won't start before the other ends. And, you know, to me, Las Vegas, Chris, a friend of mine who worked together, you know, just a fantastic professional bettor, just he understands that layering of parlays, and he taught me that, and I employ that strategy sometimes. So I'm okay if, say, you think it is going to be Houston and Marquette in the Elite Eight, you want to throw a money line parlay of those two teams, you're guaranteed that the first game's going to end. It gives you an option to come out, you know, come on the other side, try to middle, you know, the dog on in the nightcap there. But I frankly think this is a chalky tournament. The one seeds were last year was the first year we've ever had no one seeds in the Elite Eight. That obviously is going to change this year. I would not be surprised if all 4 1 seeds made the Final Four. I'm very high on UConn, obviously, no duh. In fact, I think 2-1 for them to win it. I mean, they're going to be at least a 2-3 point favorite over no matter who they face in the championship game. Purdue, everyone's down on Purdue, but I see a lot of improvements with the Boilermakers this year. I mean, obviously everyone from last year's team is back. Lawyer and Smith, they were freshmen on those on the team that lost FDU last year. Now they're sophomores. But really, the key is Lance Jones, you know, the SIU transfer who was the Mo Val Defensive Player of the Year. That's an element they didn't have. They couldn't defend the perimeter last year, right? FDU ran those high pick and rolls, and their guards just got into the paint. Edie didn't have the athleticism to guard that. Well, now he looks a little bit more athletic and a little bit fresher and friskier this year. So I just think Purdue is much better suited to make a Final Four run. I don't love the fact that, you know, it just, you get that Tennessee Purdue game in the regional final, and it's Matt Barnes against, against Painter, and, you know, Rick Barnes against Matt Painter. Who's going to be
something's the gotta coach? Give. Finally, yeah.
One of those coaches has to finally get over the hump. I think that's going to be the matchup in the Elite Eight. Houston looks legit, but their defense kind of showed some vulnerability in the last game. They need to clean that up, especially against Duke. North Carolina looks fantastic, but I think Arizona might be the better team. So I would say Purdue, UConn are kind of like, all right, I feel really good about them in the Final Four. I think Houston, I feel okay about, but frankly, Marquette's coming on really strong, and that UNC Arizona game, if we get it, is going to be an absolute battle. I could see either one of those teams pulling that one out.
Yeah, we mentioned this yesterday, but just talking about chalk tournaments, historically speaking, putting this in perspective, and Chris Valik, our friend, the Bear, did a great job of this on his Twitter feed. Only time that all number ones got to the Final Four was 2008. When that was the year that Kansas beat Memphis in overtime with that amazing comeback at the end of regulation. And then there's never been all one and twos in the Elite Eight, but the closest we've gotten, 2009, we had one versus two, one versus three, one versus three, one versus two. 2007, even closer, the closest we've ever gotten, one versus three, and then all the others were one versus two. So as close as you could possibly get to all ones and twos, but missing in 2007. So maybe this is the year. Real quick before we go, Jared, because I know you're a big baseball guy, and I don't know if you know this, but the baseball season starts in 48 hours. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
What?
Yeah, no.
It's crept up on us, didn't it?
I spent like 4 hours researching this, and it came up yesterday that we're doing a whole podcast on baseball here after the show with Jason and Mark Borchard. Jason will join us here momentarily as well. But you have a baseball thought specifically on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I think they're a little undervalued. I mean, 83.5 wins, you might be able to find a better number out there, but that's kind of the prevailing market sentiment on Arizona. I mean, we're really down on Colorado, right? I think the Padres, just during the regular season, they just haven't proven to be that high-end team. Is there going to be any suspensions with Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers? I'm not so sure. The Giants are kind of middling out there, but let's focus on Arizona. I mean, they're the same team as last year that, you know, made a really deep run in the National League postseason. And they added one of the best hitters, I think, in the entire field, Eugenio Suarez, who's going to, you know, play third base and maybe slug 40 or 50 home runs. So I don't see any reason why Arizona can't be, you know, just above the 500 mark this year. I know the division is tough. You have to face the Dodgers and the Padres a little bit less than you normally would, though. And of course, you get a couple of middling teams in there and a real bottom feeder in the Rockies. So I think Arizona, high-end teams, Zach Gallen, Cy Young candidate, and absolutely over the win total this year for the Snake.
Jared, did you just refer to the Giants as middling? Is that what I heard just there?
Oh, they've had their moments.
This was going so well. It was going so well.
I apologize. No, I'm never getting invited.
No, you're always invited. Jared, pleasure to see you. Thank you for making the time, man.
Go and go.
At Jared Lee Smith, by the way. No relation to the former fireballer reliever, Lee Smith of the 80s. Jared Lee Smith on Twitter. Very nice of Jared to make the time here. Speaking of baseball, Shohei thoughts from a guy who was all over it yesterday. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Let me say that again. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Good deal. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now, only at DraftKings.
We often talk about how good of a promo that is, Gil, but especially if you're maybe in a new state like North Carolina with legalized gambling and you haven't signed up for anything yet, this is as good of a promo as you're going
to
get.
That's right. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book here on The Numbers Game. Trust the glove. Thanks for keeping the sports talk where it belongs. Your show just can't be duplicated. It's a special combo. Thank you, Trust the Glove. Appreciate that. It's a blast with Kelly every morning. JW at One Man Wolfpack. He says, as the official gatekeeper of bad commercials, it was disappointing to hear you not get the allusion to Pepperidge Farms Remembers as an awful marketing campaign from the 70s and 80s. Sorry, I missed that one.
Yeah, I just don't remember that one, I guess, Gil.
Sorry about that. Jack and a Prius 2.0 also says the Commodores. Yeah, because I just hate saying Commanders. I hate that name. Got to change it back. Come on, Josh Harris. Change it. Not back, but change it. Johnny Ringo. Love the Bengals season win total over, but mixing male and female numbers in totals gets sketch.
Oh, my gosh.
Hashtag let's ride.
What a pull. I completely forgot about that, you weirdo.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else has this, but it only came up once.
I don't even remember how it came up.
I don't remember how it came up either. But I'll just repeat it, and you can just – I'll let the hate wash over.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I need a react.
For my entire life, meaning ever since I can remember having an active brain, I have always associated numbers with gender. It does not help me in any way. It just is. So for me, the numbers 0, 1, 5, 6, 7, and 9 are male.
Yeah, there's no like even or odd thing to this. Yeah, it's very specific numbers to Gil.
And 2, 3, 4, and 8 are female. Again, I can't explain it. I don't know why. It does not help me in any way, but that's what he's referring to.
Now, when you go past 9, is it the first number or the last number? Like if you get 72.
I don't experience those that same way.
Okay.
It doesn't associate past that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I did get some feedback from people who are like, oh yeah, I'm
the
same.
We got a lot of feedback that day.
We got a lot of feedback. Yeah. And a lot of people had almost all the numbers were the same, but some people had a little difference in their numbers too. Right. But they very few people have this. Again, it's not, I wish I didn't have that, and I wish I was one of these musical geniuses that saw colors with music, but I don't have that.
You know, or if you have like an eidetic memory or something like that, you know, that might be useful for what we do.
That would be wonderful. Did I read all of them? I think I read all of them. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he's about to join me for a Beating the Book podcast with Mark Borchard, base winner, where we talk MLB, the MLB preview podcast. Looking forward to that at the top of the hour. But first, he joins us on A Numbers Game from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Guest Line does under clouds of smoke as well, as it turns out. It's the great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. You were all over this yesterday. We started the show. Well, we talked NFL rule changes. We talked about Jontay Porter in the NBA with very irregular prop betting happening in a couple of games that he was involved with. And then, of course, there's the Shohei matter. Buddhist Man, let me just start it out with Buddhist Man, who we had the pleasure of meeting here at the D this past week, was here in the flesh. But he actually asked a question, and he wanted me to ask you, if you have a chance, can you ask Jason about this bet I made with my buddy? And the question is, what do you think the chances are that Ohtani gets suspended over this gambling-related incident? Before you even answer that, where do you fall on all of this?
Well, I mean, it's very hard to... how much time do we have?
We have a few minutes.
So, in the few-minute version, I think if Shohei Ohtani says he didn't do it, then there's no reason to believe he's lying. I mean, he's Shohei Ohtani. Why would he lie about anything? But the story just doesn't add up. Even with Ohtani saying he didn't do it, I'm very confused. And I think one of the main problems right now is that he committed himself 100% to the story that's not only completely different from the first version of the story, where he said in South Korea that he paid off the debts, But he's left himself no wiggle room now. Even if he's, you know, fudging the facts, even the slight bit. So his PR team, his agent, CAA, they all let him down horribly, horribly. I'm shocked, honestly, that CAA allowed his interpreter to meet and do a 90-minute interview with ESPN. And it makes me question what ESPN knew when. I'm assuming they know a lot more than they're saying right now. I'm assuming this investigation has been ongoing for a while, you know, and this information has been out there. And like I said, it's just a lot of assumptions, but doesn't look great. I mean, at the very least, his statement yesterday where he said, I've never willfully sent money to a bookmaker is absolutely not the same thing as saying I have never sent money to a bookmaker.
Right.
That qualifier was huge. And I think that to me should have been the lead off, you know, takeaway from that conversation. And I listened to it on the Dodgers radio station. So afterwards I got a full Dodgers sort of spin on it. And they're basically going with, well, Otani's going to respect the legal process and let the investigation play out, which honestly to me is what a guilty person says. So I'm sort of leaning towards he's guilty of something. But I can't tell you what.
What about Buddhist man's question? I mean, like, we're all bettors here, right? So whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But from a betting standpoint, a suspension or some absence of participation, whether it's a suspension or by Shohei himself removing himself, if this were to escalate somehow, if some new reporting happened and some new allegations were to come up, if this were to escalate and somehow he wouldn't play, like, what do you think the odds are of that happening?
The Dodgers, whether this was a strategic gambit or not, fired EP right away, which means he doesn't have to cooperate with an MLB investigation. He's not compelled at all to tell MLB a single thing. That helped Otani a great deal. So in that regard, I asked, suspend Otani for what? He said he didn't do it, and either believe him or you don't. And MLB wants this problem to go away. The Dodgers want this problem to go away. Otani wants this problem to go away. The bookmaker might be trying to leverage this information to, you know, get a deal from the Justice Department or whatever. Mind you, the articles pointed out that the FBI would neither confirm nor deny that the bookmaker in question here is cooperating with them. So there's still plenty of questions whether this is a criminal matter, whether there's a wire fraud aspect. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't know these things. You know, then there's the whole issue, the negligence by his bank and his agent. I mean, did nobody know that this money was going out? I mean, nobody background checked this guy. He didn't go to the college he said he went to. I mean, everybody here basically failed, it sounds like. So you have to either assume that Otani's surrounded by just incompetent people on every level, or there's more to the story. So I don't know. What do you think?
I said at the top of the show, I honestly, unlike the Jonte Porter, where to me it seems very guilty. This I have no idea, because all of, like, I've had a lot of DMs from people in gambling who are like, oh, it's definitely Otani. I have the same bookmaker, that kind of thing. Or the same person told me about Jonte, told me about Shohei, right? That kind of stuff. But on the other hand, like, again, we all have heard about famous, very wealthy people who have been robbed of their money because they're not watching their money, right? They're busy doing what they do. I used Billy Joel as an example in music, who lost everything because someone stole all his money, one of his people, right?
I did see somebody point out on Twitter, and I do mostly agree with it, that they said that the coverage of Otani has been sort of infantilizing, you know, treating him as like a stupid baby idiot who doesn't know anything. And I sort of object to that sort of characterization of him. He's really being given a pass here. And, you know, he knows how to speak English.
Yeah.
You know, we're just all kind of pretending like he doesn't understand anything.
Well, no,
this is very.
Yeah, I'm not trying to infantilize it. I'm just saying there's been many a famous wealthy person who has lost track of the money. That doesn't make it an infantilization of it. Jason, Megapod, baseball preview on the other side. Deep dive. Looking forward to it, man.
Can't wait. Should be fun.
Jason Weingart, on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next.